Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Exhortation is, our study is titled The Spiritual Law of Sacrifice. Hallelujah. Do we have the scripture? The Spiritual Law of Sacrifice. Let me read. For the Lord has made known his ways unto Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. Why would God determine or choose a different way to respond to people? It's relating to the pastor in a different way and relating with the church members in a different way. Does it have anything to do with his calling or with his appetite? Please, I want you to put that down, because sometimes if you are listening to someone like myself, you could get lost in the euphoria of the joke. Why would God choose a different approach in relating with Moses, the pastor, the apostolic leader, and the people he is pastoring, is relating to them in another way? So when Moses goes to God, God is not manifesting as power to him. Please understand. If your definition or expression of who God is mostly on the level or the terrain of power, you are still a child. Please put that down. Because I want you to take some things home to think about. There is nothing wrong with power. In fact, we have been called to the ministry of power. Somebody reached out to me 3 days ago. He came to this church 2018. How many years now? 6 years. He came with a friend and sat here. I don't even remember him. Somebody in this church who used to live at the refuge house invited him. Please stay with me. So he came. One of those Sundays he just came. He came once or twice. I'm talking about power. And you see, no two men of God are crafted in power the same way. So, for instance, my prophetic power, or the call of the power of God over my life, flows prophetically. What that means is that the Lord would speak to me, and the moment I say what is impressing my heart, power flows. Whether you feel it or not, it's not the issue. But there's another angle to it. Why some people may not even need to have faith when the prophetic word is released. Others may be required to have faith. And I was going to ask, Lord, are you changing the goalpost? Are you shifting stuff? He said, no, this person is already overdue. All she needs is the word to push her in. This person is about to come to this level, so she will need a measure of faith to get to the point she is, so that it's like a Kairos moment. Kairos means God appointed time. She's in a God appointed time. So just a word, for the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you, and that which you shall conceive shall be called the Son of the Most High. It's an appointed thing. All Mary needed to do was to accept the offer. And how did she do it? Not by speaking in tongues. She said, be it unto me according to your word. That's the most, this prophetic statement, and you need to note this one down, write it down. The response of Moses, of Mary, when the angel appeared, she said, Lord, in other words, I don't know how this thing is going to happen, But I accept your verdict. Every time God needs to do something on the earth, he wants a man to agree with him. Many of us have heard what God said. We read the Bible and we saw God said, I will do this for you. And you believe that scripture was for you. Some of you went for a meeting and you received a prophetic word. But you have not accepted the contract. If you don't accept it, it doesn't become legal. You need to accept. Just say, I was praying last night. I fasted for 3 days and God said this to me. That's beautiful, but did you accept? Discussing it with your friend doesn't mean you accepted. Please stay with me. Because this may be the key to the next season for which some of you are actually here now and you are listening to me. This particular brother said he came here and he sat somewhere in the church and he said, while the service was on, I just asked him to stand up. And I began to profess. And he said, and I asked him a question. You know, sometimes when I profess, I ask questions. Okay, some of you don't remember. Sometimes I just ask a question. When would you like this to happen? Have you heard things like that before? Okay. And the people will be smiling because for them, I'm a comedian. You understand? But my gift works with laughter. So if I'm not happy with you, I can't prophesy to you. Yes. Most likely what you will get is prophetic rebuke. If I'm not in a good state of mind, I don't hold the mic. Because I will preach, but I will not bless you. My emotions play a significant role. How I feel. Because the power of God may be condensed in my spirit, but if I'm not emotionally stable, I will get it wrong. I may feel God has judged you. Meanwhile, what God is saying is what? He has blessed you. And I will allow my bias play into my gift. And it becomes a problem for which I will also have to answer. The brother sat here and I asked him, I see you leaving the country. Because some people think I'm against people leaving the country. No, I have a long list of people who have left the country by prophecy. I don't know the brother from anywhere. It didn't even look like it. He was dragged here. And I said to him, I see you having a PhD. You are working outside the country. And I started to... He didn't even know what to do with his life as at 2018. Then he chatted with me this last week with an American number. So I just said, sorry, who is this? He just said, he mentioned his name. I don't remember anything. Like, let's just keep it short. And he said to me, I was in church 2018. That was a long time. How come I don't know you? You don't know how many people you have blessed. It is eternity that would you just continue to be good. Eternity will surprise many people. Many people you thought were making impact here. God will tell you to go and sit down and ask you to stand up. Say, when I was hungry, you fed me. Is that impact? Say, yes. Impact is not microphone. Impact is alignment. Staying in the line God has put you and you are just operating from. They are not envying anybody. Your time will come. Your time will come. They will beg you to come and sit on TV and they want to interview you to say nonsense, but they just want to interview you. So don't rush. Don't eat the apple when it's unripe because it will be acidic. The brother said that was the last time he came to church and that he's now a lecturer in an American university. I said, wow. I still don't even know what he looks like because there was no picture on this. So he just said, I remembered when I got this job and I said, and I began to trace and I remembered I could trace this prophecy and my season, current season, to your prophetic word. I said, Father, we thank you for this is the confidence we have in you. That whenever we call upon you, according to your will, you hear us. That's the power of a prophetic word. But if you go to a meeting where Inabonki is minister, you will not receive a prophecy. Inabonki will simply pray. If you've seen a minister, he will simply pray. You will just see cripples. Everybody. Bam. Pastor Adeboye's gift works with word of knowledge. Daddy said there's somebody here. So when you are in a place, you need to understand. That's why I used to say to some of you that as much as I want to be your friend, you must resist the urge not to be too close to me. Because when you become too close to me, I will become blind to you. I may not be able to see into the future, because if I prophesy to you, you will think it's because I already we are close. You will think it's because of what you told me. But I have gotten to the place where I can start prophesying from, say, remember yesterday we spoke about this. Now this is what the Lord is saying. I can start from a conversation yesterday and start the prophecy from there. And you will think it is what we said. Then I will move from there and jump 6 years into the future like this guy. Somebody came here, sat down, and received the prophecy 6 years. But thank God, he finally remembered that the miracle is not of his own doing. Because what prophecy does is that it opens seasons. Prophecy have the ability to create a season that doesn't exist and give it to you. So don't joke with your prophet. Are we good? Are we good? So we started this conversation from Psalm 103. So I'm asking, why would I be in a place and the Lord is, and please, everything I just said, it's not really about me. You know, me, I'm just a servant. So don't hype me. Hype my God. Don't hype me. I'm just a servant who did only what he was graced to do. So, are we together? So I want you to pay attention and consider that it is possible for you to be in the same space with your wife. You are both hearing God, but you are hearing differently. Because when God speaks to you, he's talking about his ways. What do we mean by the ways? God is saying, if God is talking to you about how he healed her, about her healing, what Charles may see is how the anointing came upon Busayo and she was healed. Or like the brother whose testimony I share with you. For some of us, we are just thinking, I wish that can happen to me. You come to a service and you are thinking, you know, have you ever been in a meeting where somebody was just singled out? Like that was the only person the pastor prayed for. And you're like, which kind of soap? Like God, we are plenty here. And they just, and the pastor just prayed for this person and went to sit down. And you're like, it's not, something is wrong. Like, we are plenty, like, Abba. But you know, Charles and I, we are revealing your deliverance or your healing. Charles sees the way the ministration happened, how you got your miracle. But Charles was, what was revealed to Charles was the act of God. But God speaking to me about this issue, he will sit me down and say, let me tell you why she qualified. That's the ways of God. Let me tell you her journey. Let me tell you why, in spite of your prayers, that she should fall down and die, she cannot fall down and die. God, in the process of helping me appreciate her miracle, God will begin the teaching session with me. That is what you must desire. Because if you have that one, you will also have power. But if you have power and you don't have the ways of God, God will not commit himself to you. Please write that one down. If you have the power of God in your life, but you don't have the ways of God, you will be blessed too. But God will never commit. Which means when God needs a trusted person to go and do a job, he may not really think of you. All right. Are you blessed? Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. The spiritual law of sacrifice. The spiritual law of sacrifice. Leviticus 17:11. Quickly. Let me read. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. What does that mean? The sustaining power, capacity. What the difference between a living being and a corpse in the morgue or mortuary is what? Life. And the Lord said that life, where is it? In your blood. Now, that life, is it biological? It's not just biological. Because this thing has a sustaining power. It's like when you have solar batteries or your inverter batteries and they are charged, You don't see the battery. You see the energy they produce. All right? That energy is called life. That's why you don't mind, even though your grid collapses 10 times in a month. Because once the sun comes out, your inverter starts charging. All right? So the life that is in the flesh is what? The blood. Give me that scripture again. And I have given it to you upon what? Upon what? Please pay attention to this scripture. Unfortunately, we don't have time. It says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given you this blood upon the altar to make what? An atonement for your soul. So, as far as God is concerned, what is the element in the sacrifice that can cleanse a man's soul? What is the element that God considers when he wants to wash a man from his sins? Huh? The blood. That blood, huh, is the container for that life. Huh? Is what is the environment in which the life can survive in. And God says, I've given you, give me that scripture, I've given you, given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh what? An atonement. So, there are certain elements, and please pay attention. There are certain elements that have immense value in the spiritual realm. One of those elements is the cross of Jesus Christ. And personally, I believe every Christian should wear a cross. Personally, it's not a doctrine, but I believe every Christian should wear a cross. Wear it as your earring, wear it as a chain, because the cross is a symbol of Christ's victory over Satan. Everywhere you see the cross. Did you know that the Red Cross used to be a Christian organization? Ah, the church has fallen. How many of you are hearing that for the first time? The Red Cross used to be. That Red Cross in a white background, huh? Used to be, was an organization established by Christians that they were now adopted by United Nations. It's no more a Christian organization. But they were adopted by what? The United Nations. But please remember, that cross is red. It's significant. Why? Because that cross speaks of the blood of Jesus. And what is the mission of Red Cross? To save lives. So how they managed to hand over that body to United Nations, I will go and research. But that cross is just there now. But I'm glad they didn't change the color from red to green. Because I was also surprised. But it made a lot of sense to learn that the Red Cross used to be a Christian organization. So one of the artifacts in the realm of the spirit that has immense value is what? The cross of Christ. Another, and what makes the cross of Christ very powerful is the blood. One other instrument that is of, please note all these things, so, that has immense value in the realm of the spirit is the name of Jesus. All right? Now, none of the apostles could use the name of Jesus until Jesus was glorified. Yes or no? None of the disciples could use the name of Jesus and say, in the name of Jesus, be free. Until Jesus resurrected, died and resurrected. Are we agreed? So, what ratifies? What do I mean by ratify? What does the word ratify mean? What approves, what gives approval or credibility for a Christian to say, in the name of Jesus, and things begin to happen in the spirit? The reason why you are not aware that something happened is because your eyes can only see physical things. Yes, and this is why many people stop praying and they stop having faith, Because when they mentioned in the name of Jesus, they were not conscious of the fact that that name compels every knee to bow. They didn't get that point when Paul said, when that name is mentioned, any ear in the realm of spirit that hears it will bow. No matter your level, whether you are a principality or power, if you heard it, bow. You are not excused. That's how powerful the name is. See, and God has given him a name that is above every, which means whatever activity is going on in the boardroom, when the MD comes in, everybody stops and acknowledges the presence of the MD. And if the MD also has another boss, who is the chairman? When the chairman goes, oh, hello guys, I was just passing through. If the MD was making a point, he will stop. That means in the spiritual realm, people defer to authority. And the name of Jesus, the power and the ability to use that name is not cheap. Because the strength of that name, the power of that name was ratified by blood. Until Jesus died, none of us could say in Jesus' name. None of us. We knew. Because even Jesus Christ did not use his own name to cast out devils. I hope you know that. He didn't say in my name. No, he just spoke to them. I'm saying this so that you will not think that the name has lost its power because of the rubbish you see on the internet today or on the street. That name remains a mystery that nobody has been able to solve. Except that we know that when he died, God gave him a name. So that name was ratified by the blood. The third artifact in the realm of the spirit that you must understand and lay hold on is the blood of Jesus. That has immense power to forgive and turn a soul to a poor. Very powerful. That same blood was used to cleanse the heavens. I'm talking about the spiritual law of sacrifice. So in Leviticus 17:11, the scripture says the life that is in the flesh is the life of the flesh is in the blood. Which means that every time blood is shed, that means there's a sacrifice, right? Are we together? Every time blood is shed. And please understand that the way the spiritual realm works, it still remains some kind of mystery to so many of us, which is why we are not very strong when it comes to spiritual things. The spiritual realm operates by very legal principles. And if you don't take your time to master some of the laws that guides the spirit realm, you may have the name, you may have the blood, you might hear what I'm saying, but you will not be able to deploy it because your RAM is very, very low. How many of you know that when you use your computer for some very serious activity, then they will tell you to go and clear the temporary files and cache and just do, Alt plus R. You type prefetch. Then you do Alt plus R. Type temp, temporary files. And you delete. Then suddenly your system becomes faster. So even when you say you are serving God, you must find that moment where you need to retreat. Because when your fire is burning, there will be ashes. There will be ashes. The law of sacrifice is the difference between two Christians. Please, are you with me now? Hello? I said the law of sacrifice is the major difference between two Christians. Their level of investment in spiritual things. So that I understand why, and I say this with every sense of shame, that we pastors have not really helped you guys. Because as much as we need to make the place very comfortable, I hope you know that some of the errors that are in this generation, our parents who stayed in church, they didn't fall for it. They look at you guys like, you guys, what are you doing? They don't have the verbose language and grammar. But you see, some of them have touched the realm of prayer. There's a difference between praying and when you touch the realm of prayer. When you touch the realm of prayer, the power in that realm comes to you. Once... Okay, just get 1 Samuel 15:22 ready. My call to you today is for you to know that for you to amount to anything with God, you must understand this law of sacrifice. Yeah. God proved it to us when he gave his only son and said, go and die. It was a risk. Because the first Adam was sent to this earth and he didn't come back. Abi? Then Jesus, our Lord, was referred to as the last Adam. That means, not just the second, last. That means if he fails, no other provision. Let's just continue to fill array and die and go to hell. God did not send any man to hell. The only problem is that when you die and you are not with God, they take you to Satan. Where will Satan keep you? Satan is in hell. So just find a spot here and continue to enjoy your eternity. And it's amazing how much effort we put into this time and ignore eternity. Some people are actually hoping that eternity will not exist. They are actually hoping that they'll just die. Say, Jesus is not the only way to heaven. I don't need think comes. All this holiness. Nobody's holy. Or if you just say, whether am I 4 wives or 7 wives? Just love. God is just about love. Or you now die, then I say, God died yesterday. So nobody will judge you and say nobody. As you try to look for a new king. So people imagine vain things. I don't know how you imagine this thing. But will God really send people to hell forever? Forever. That my grandmother that was not born again, but she used to sing hymns. Like she's in hell? Yes. Yes. Good people don't go to heaven. It's those who are saved by the blood. That's why we must preach the gospel. Thank God for all these stage lights and everything. But this is not the gospel. Our parents did not depend on this one. We will buy it if we have the money. But don't confuse it. Making any choice that makes you too comfortable is not working in your interest. Hallelujah. So let's talk about sacrifice. What is it about the gospel that despite all Jesus has done, the Bible says those who believe that have entered into his rest. And in the book of Hebrews. So that means when I believe in God and I believe in the finished work of Christ, I enter into the rest of God. That means there are certain things about my life I don't have to struggle. For instance, my eternal security. I don't have to worry about, if I die, will I go to heaven? Those things are done. Can a Christian lose his salvation? It's not easy to lose it. Because what was used to purchase it was not also easy. That is the doctrine of those who are preaching once saved, forever saved. But it is still possible if you of your own volition say, I will no longer serve Jesus. Then your name will be removed. It's not by force to go to heaven. So imagine the Bible says we were not purchased by perishable things. But we were purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. That's what Peter was saying to us. Precious. That means that when Jesus was shedding his blood on that cross, in the realm of the spirit, physically, what people saw was a man bleeding to death. But in the realm of the spirit, there was a vessel being presented, collecting everything. I want you to see it in your mind. Like, not one blood was wasted. And in case you ask, how many people can this blood take care of? Then I also ask you, how many people can 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, how many people can it feed? If you have the answer, I hope you know the answer is not 5,000 men. It was only 5,000 because that was the number of people who were. If they were 100, the thing will keep multiplying. That is why the blood of Jesus will never dry up. So don't be afraid to plead the blood of Jesus. That is the reason why God has business with you. Because a believer is consistently under the blood of Jesus. 24 hours a day. Oh my God. I wish this way, this knowledge will just rest. That you are, when they see dream of speech, they see a man covered in blood. They see a woman covered in blood. Which means it is not your prayer that will secure you. You have been put in a safety net where attacks bounce back. Because of the blood. So when I plead the blood of Jesus, I am invoking my knowledge of what that blood is capable of. Not because I am not in the blood. And I like the way our parents used to do it. It's not in English, oh. If you attend my kind of church, you will say it 7 times. Hey, look, it's like when I hear this, I imagine like thunder and lightning in the realm of the spirit. Pa 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 pa. If you are still there, you must be a strong witch. Boy, later I say hallelujah. What are you doing now? Hallelujah. Even you are your pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, you will not pursue any demon like this. God told the Israelites, say, when you march around Jericho on the seventh day, shout. They're shouting your DNA. This is why you are shouting for Davido and all these guys, because you didn't put your shout where it mattered. Because you must shout. We were created to shout. The Bible says the shout of the king is amongst us. You cannot be a Christian and be quiet. Even the reverend fathers that I know who speak in tongues, they are not quiet. It's because you are not filled yet. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't be quiet. That you are just quiet. I say you are bored. My daughter said, Daddy, I'm bored. I say you can't be bored. I say you are bored. I say you want to watch TV. No TV. I know what you mean by I'm bored. Even when they call themselves guys and say, Daddy, we are bored. I say, you can't go and sleep. You can't. Sacrifice, your knowledge of the power of the sacrifice Jesus took on our behalf is very significant to the amount of power you can draw from the blood. If you don't understand how weighty, how God guards jealously the sacrifice of his son, if you don't understand how jealously the blood means to God in heaven, you will not understand how precious you are to God. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks to us about the heavenly council and says that what? We have come to the new, is that Hebrews 13? 12. Let's go there. It's not part of my scripture, but I want to show you something very significant. Now, this is preamble, all right? So, wherever I stop, if this is the only knowledge I leave you with tonight, you will go back home and sleep without regard for Satan. Come on, say amen. Some of you give Satan too much attention. Even Satan is shocked at the way we respect him. Verse 22, he said, but we have come to Mount Zion, unto the city. Now, please, I want you to note the institutions being mentioned here. The writer says, we have come. Listen to me. Jerusalem is no more a physical location. For us as Christians, we are not spiritually in tune when we go to Israel for pilgrimage. He says, we have come. Oh my God. He said, we have come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Say one. We have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And to an innumerable company of angels. That's three. To the what? General. So they say Senate. That sits in heaven. Huh? If God has to put his mouth in everything, he won't have time for his real job. There's a general assembly. And there are people there. People like David. People like Elijah. Huh? There are people there, people who once lived on earth, who have become elders in the spirit. God doesn't just look for perfect men. He makes imperfect people become perfect. He says, we have come to General Assembly and what? The church of the firstborn. This church of the firstborn is not just the General Assembly. It includes both the living and the dead. Those of us who are here now on earth, we are part of the church of what? The firstborn. Who is the firstborn? Jesus. So he said, we have come to the General Assembly, which is a Senate, an ecclesia, called out ones, separated ones, legislators, and to the firstborn, the church of firstborn, which are what? So that means when a man becomes a Christian and accepts the finished work of Christ, the first thing they do in heaven is to record his name. They record his name. It's part of us now. So you cannot claim, oh my God, you cannot claim to be a Christian and be saying that what Paul said is not relevant. Because there are people going about now saying that what Paul said is there's a mistake. What Paul said, he has said. Say your own. There are pastors going everywhere now saying that Jesus is not the only way to God. Bishops, people with big cathedrals. Esa. I appreciate your need to be gender inclusive and you want to be accepted by everybody. But the Bible says the names of those who are written in heaven. God wrote this list. He didn't give it to any bishop. This you must, okay, don't worry. And we have come to God, who is what? The judge of all. Can you see the makeup of this? Stay on that scripture. Well, the makeup of this council. Because some people think God is playing. This council meets regularly. This council meets regularly. They could be jolly well meeting now. When the scripture says, bring forth your strong reasons, it's because we are in court. You need strong reasons to convince the judge. Some things are not necessarily that God would not let you have them. But God needs to hear you. Why? Please, are you with me? You want a child. Why? Why? There are people that only relate to the prophet when they have problems. But when things are good for them, they don't remember the prophet. Yes. So God has to be taking care of the prophet. If not, the prophet will prophesy and die. If the prophet tells you he's always fasting, so that means he will not eat. Abi, that anointing that benefited you, that prophetic word, you just came once, you got prophecy. Others have been coming. Eh? Prophet is here to see them. You came. Only God knows which head, which soap you used to bait, and you came, and prophet said, you, I see you in the U.S., he's not a doctor. He sent me love letter. I say, Pastor, your prophetic word. I say, I didn't know I was a prophet too. But at least this one came back to say thank you. So now I now speak wholeness into your life. Because you came back, I will now prophesy to you that your job is now insulated from corruption. Which means they will sack everybody in that university, you will remain. But that one is only for those who come back. Give me that scripture. In this council, God is referred to as a judge, not as father. Please, if this helps anybody, and I want you to be thinking as I'm talking, because I'm really not here to make you happy today or laugh. I want you to see what is going on. That every time you stand before God and you are praying, you feel like stopping, and you feel like the Holy Spirit nudging you to continue. It's because the court is still in session. The case is not decided. Everybody needs to agree on your matter. You thought you were just praying. Just felt like, I'm tired. You are tired. You are tired. Hey. The court is still in session. The person in the dock said he's tired. Judge is still sitting. You say you are tired. Oga, start praying though. So you see, that is why God honors lengthy prayers. Because it takes sacrifice. To stay in one place and be praying 2 hours. To pray 3 hours. You are not trying to be a pastor. It's because you understand spiritual things. He said God in this council is known as the judge. And the Bible says we have come to the spirit of what? Just men. Who have been made perfect. Who are these just men? David. What was the name of that son of Adam? Seth. No. Abel that was killed. Abel. Abraham. People who walked with God and they were perfected. David. Elijah. Elisha. Enoch. Noah. We have all these men whose stories were carefully selected and put in the scriptures for us. They were not the only men who walked with God in their time. But these ones were selected carefully. This one was a farmer. This one was a preacher of righteousness. This one was used to be a businessman. God called him, became a prophet. This one was an angry prophet, stay in the cave. God selected different people. God even selected a man who he told to marry a harlot. So that if you have any problem, if you read the Bible very well, you will see someone that looks like you. So don't be angry. Follow Uno Road. If you don't like Elijah, look for Osiah. Because some people, they are always attracted to the wrong people. No matter what you see. Come on. Next verse. Can you see the people that come to court when the heavens gather? And look at this. He said, unto who? Unto Jesus. What does it mean to be a mediator? Somebody who stands in between. An intercessor. What else? The one who administers the new covenant. He not only died to establish it. He rose to what? To what? To administer it. Jesus didn't die and leave somebody to come by Michael or Gabriel to come and say, okay, when I die, this I want you to do it. No. He was the one who died to make the will of God active. Then he rose to sit over it, to administer it. He said, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. This is our current status. We are in the new covenant. So when you read the Old Testament, you must read it with a bias for the New Testament. When you see how animals were killed, because there's one bishop now that is killing animals in Nigeria. Say he's doing sacrifice. So you need to show him this scripture. Somebody will just come and do something, look scintillating and magical, and so what? I just put the Bible beside you. Sir, this is wrong. God has gone. This is not baptism of John again. It's baptism of Holy Ghost we are doing. Don't hype what God has left. He said, we have come to the mediator. Jesus, the mediator, is coming. And what? To what? Now, I want you to please say, read that part. And to what? That what? So the blood of Jesus was recognized as a separate entity in the court of heaven, apart from Jesus. You are not getting it. That means when Jesus comes to court, he will take a seat. Michael will come in. Paul will come in. God, once before God the judge will sit down, the blood of Jesus will walk in. As a living entity. As a part of Christ, but a unique entity. The blood just will come and sit down. If you look at the blood of Jesus and you look at Joe, you think they are twins. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. They look alike. That is the capacity of Jesus to tell you, I forgive you. Yes. That blood has only one assignment in the court. To do what? To speak. When everybody has argued, oh, she committed this thing. She did an abortion. She took the drug. She lost. She one of the baby died. Then I realized it was twins. Then she took another one and she was crying, saying, God, forgive me. No. She did it deliberately. She cannot be forgiven. Satan too will come. I said, this one is my child. She's just going to church. But everything she does, all her dance steps, all her choice of attire, there's something the Bible calls the harlot's attire. Some of the popular things we wear today are the things that cowboys and cowgirls in Texas used to wear when you go to the prostitution den, that's what they, that's how you know them. But for whatever is what, that's what we wear now. So there will be an allegation against a person. And then at the end of the day, it is the blood of Jesus that will come and say, I still have allocation from this year's budget for mercy. No, you cannot forgive her. According to who? So Jesus will ask, according to who? I am the one with capacity to forgive. You are a liar. You have no capacity to forgive or speak the truth. If I say I can forgive, what is it to you? Say, I committed only one sin. You threw me out of heaven. She has committed, she killed twins. I will have mercy. On whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion. This one will rise in the future and be my servant. So for that future, I can forgive. Hallelujah. So I want you to see the weight and the power of the sacrifice of Jesus. So at the next time you go to the place of prayer and Satan tries to guilt trip you, tell him, I have your answer. I have your matter here. You must know how to invoke the power of that blood. Because we are not even purchased. You did not even become a Christian by perishable things. When I preached and you said, Jesus come into my life, it was not my preaching. It was the blood that was speaking in the heaven saying, give her a second chance. Every authentic miracle is rooted in the blood. Every authentic miracle. And those who refuse to know this power are the ones that have to be doing their hands and leg like this for you to get a miracle. Tell you to buy coconut, so that I can have a child. Coconut Sunday, coconut service, coconut miracle service. The blood of joy is powerful. It is the root and the foundation of the church. The blood of joy is powerful. That blood was shed and it provides for us a very strong bias that when we cannot look in the face of God, we can actually come because of the blood. No angel can look into the face of God because no angel was washed by the blood of Jesus. But the Bible said to us, you come boldly. Come boldly. The reason why it's not because of your holiness, it's because of the blood. Come boldly. That statement has an emotional instinct to it. Come boldly. Not come boldly. Come boldly. There's an attitude to it. Come boldly so that you may receive and obtain. Receive and obtain. When you come, the way you will know God has answered you is that you will what? You will receive what? No. You will obtain mercy and find grace. Because grace is the allocation of heaven that tells you now have divine support. And mercy is the allocation of heaven. All these two items can only be gotten from the throne of God. That tells you, I will bypass your weakness and establish my word concerning you. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is powerful. And we need to take this message. It's so powerful. Read Zechariah chapter 9 verse 11. Let's begin to round up. Now this is an entire study, but I hope you will leave here today strengthened in your faith. And the next time you are pressed to scream that name, don't hold back. Because you don't owe nobody. Even your sins have been wiped away. You don't owe nobody. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 11. Our parents screamed their names. They screamed it for years. And their families were sustained and restored. We have come with a strange gospel. We can't shout, let the old head be silent. We will not be silent. Will not be silent until the old earth looks like Jesus. As for you also, by the blood of your covenant, I have sent forth your prisoners. Where? Out of the pit where there's no water. This is the word of the Lord. This is the power of the blood. This is a prophetic scripture for Jesus in the book of Zechariah. Say, as for you, speaking about him, he said, by the blood of your covenant. That means that covenant can be established by blood. That's why when people get married, they are not perceived to be legally married until the marriage is consummated. Because when the marriage is consummated, and if you don't know what consummated, just Google it, amen. The Lord will help you. When the marriage is consummated, blood is shed. Yeah. Blood is shed. Somebody saw a picture of myself and my son. You guys are looking alike. I said, we've shed plenty of blood together. We've shed plenty of blood together. So, by the blood of your covenant. Covenant is established by blood. Even in the Old Testament, every time God will establish a covenant, he will say, bring a sacrifice. And let me say this to you. In the New Testament, there is spirit-inspired sacrifice. There are things the Lord will have you do as a memorial. Something that can be presented in the court of heaven. The Bible says, so we believe, as we believe, so we speak. When the Lord was going to give Abraham a son, he required that he change his name first. From Abram to Abraham. From Sarai to Sarah. He mandated it. That means if you didn't know and you come to that house 6 months later, Abraham. Don't shorten it. It's Abraham. I have a friend. If you call him Emeka, he will become very upset with you. Say, my name is Chukwu Emeka. In my mind, what does it matter? He says, because you don't know the meaning. I say, and after I say, all the Emekas I know, they are very stubborn. And you are showing that same thing now. But when he began to explain the meaning of that name, I appreciated what he was saying. That when you take away the Chukwu from it, you've destroyed the essence of that name. Say, by the blood of your covenant, you have what? Give me that scripture. You have brought out the prisoners out of where? This is how you are going to come out. This is why the blood of Jesus must become a very vital part of your prayer life and your altar. But I dare say to you, sometimes the Lord will inspire you to do what we call spirit-inspired sacrifice. The Lord will ask you to go and be a blessing to somebody who has the grace for what you are trusting God for. It may not be there. How many children did Elisha have? But he could give people children by prophecy. Sometimes we judge people wrongly. We think, oh, because somebody is not having something in his life. No, we are talking about the grace. I don't know anybody personally. Personally, so far so good. I don't know anybody in the last 9 years that I've ever prayed for that wanted to leave the country and didn't go. I don't know one. But me, I'm here. So if you judge me and say, hey, it's bad belly. Now, do you know how anointed you are, sir? Your prophecy sent a man abroad. Huh? There was another brother in the U.S. that they were going to deport. And when he reached out to me, and I prayed for him, he not only got established, he got married, he has a child. Now, do you guys remember the story of a brother that I said called me from the U.S.? And he said he was struggling. And the Lord said I should ask him, the last job I gave you, where is the tithe? He said he didn't tithe. The Lord did not ask him to go and look for the tithe. So I just prayed a prayer of mercy for him. He got a job same month. After like over a year. So if you have a grace that can travel to the US, France, when you are here, are you limited? So why do you look down on the grace of God in you? Paul said, I don't despise the grace of God on my life. So many of you, you have stayed so long in church, you don't even know the grace that God has given to you. Some people are just graced very differently. That wherever they are, people there will start doing well. People will start getting married. People who can't conceive. It was that time you came to the house that thing happened to them. Just think back, you will see a pattern. That pattern is where the grace is. Don't be naive. That woman had money. She had the king's favor. She was connected. But she didn't have a child. Elisha was passing. Was it God that told her to take care of the prophet? Some things are common sense. The prophet has something you don't have. You have something the prophet doesn't have. As anointed as Elisha was, he was poor. He was not poor by reason of laziness, but because he left his business and became a minister, he became poor. So God made the system such that anything that you does that is of benefit that you do not give to cannot benefit you. The same way you cannot go to school and graduate same day, you must do 4 years in university. That time and discipline. And that's why you see most universities, their motto is discipline and something. They, you know, they put one thing, but you see discipline there. Education and discipline. Because the ability to sit in a class for 4 years, 5 years, at the end of the day, you are still not getting any job. You require discipline for that one. There was a brother, I went to preach in Ikeja. So I prayed for, the Lord told me to pray for a woman that promotion was coming. And the husband became very upset at me. Because he challenged me. Say, since I've been knowing you, my wife doesn't like you. Say, but you are always prophesying to her. Say, but me, that love you with all my heart, we only discuss about Nigeria's problems. He said, I'm struggling. Say a word. I say it doesn't happen that way. I can say something emotionally, but that's not the way it works. One day, these are very precious people. So one day, we were I was preaching somewhere. So after the meeting, I just saw the woman. I said, I feel led to pray for you. Please get me a bottle of water. So she went to get this Seaway or Cascade. So I prayed over the water. And my instruction is always very clear. Don't share. If I've ever spoken to you like that, you will see me always tell you, don't share. Because I've seen where people hijacked other people's miracles. That day, she and her husband were not even in good terms. She kept the bottle in her bag. Because she knows her husband dare not go to that bag. If we are fighting, don't touch my thing, Abby. Then she got up, went to pick something. The husband suddenly felt like he was thirsty, like was just looking around. And his hand went to the bag innocently and drank the whole bottle. He just drank the whole bottle. I got home around 10 p.m. and I got a call. And not suffer. I will not take this. What kind of rubbish is this? I said, calm down. What's going on? Say, man of God. This thing, it was in Yoruba. I didn't know that it was water that had been prayed. I was thirsty. Say, after all these years, you could not go out of your car to go and get water at the dispenser. It was the one. The devil that sent you to me. So the husband was like, Pastor, what should we do? That I said, there's not you. It's only that water that I prayed on. Say, can we do another one? I said, no. Say, so what do we do? I said, be begging her. Do you know the husband that had been stagnated for 15 years got a job that period? That doubled his salary. She hijacked the wife's. But the good news is that the family is now a happy family. What? Now, I say this. So when I tell you some things, most times, they may even be listening to this broadcast now. But the good thing is that this lovely family, they are better than ever. You know? But just imagine it was your friend. The one you squatted and insulted you. That what is in this room, sir? This, what is this thing? Is this what you call house? I'm leaving your house for good. And she drank your water. She can't vomit, it's gone. Listen to me. This is the principle. When Isaac was going to bless his children, he requested for a venison. Whoever shows up first, there's a first principle here you must understand. Sometimes, it's better to be swift. Swift. In trying to make the food too sweet. These are spiritual. This one is not doctrine, it's spiritual. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about sacrifice works. The moment the father ate the food, the blessing follows the one who brought the food. It doesn't follow the original intention. It doesn't. The moment the man said, "The field, my son is as a field that the Lord has blessed," the power went. The moment the other boy, Esau, came back, he said, "Daddy, even just one word is gone." He said, "You will serve your..." Don't talk again. You are creating problem now. You already gave my blessing to my brother. Now you are cursing me. Huh? You are cursing me. That's how powerful that thing is. So it's the same principle. The power has been spoken into a vessel, which in this case was water. Whoever takes the water. But do you know, for God to bestow such power on you? Huh? I once prayed for a woman, a young lady who came to see me in another town. Her father didn't even believe in Jesus Christ. But he was bedridden, arthritis. They came from CAC churches, prayed and prayed that maybe if the man gives his life to Christ, he will stop harassing everybody. The guy was not healed. I came to campus and the lady saw me on the road and said, thank God you came home. My father cannot walk. He has been bedridden for months. I just told her, go and buy a handkerchief and make sure you come fast. Because me, I have other things to do. I came to process one document. She came, I sat down in the classroom, lecture theater, laid my hands on the handkerchief, and I prayed. Took the thing back to Ondo State, where the man was bedridden in Akure. The moment she touched the dad with it, the man dozed off. This was testimony of like 7 years ago. Dozed off. The man woke up, forgot he had been bedridden, paralyzed, got up, picked his car keys, was going to start. She shouted in the house. The man did not even bother to call me since that time. But that's the power of transfer. You must understand the grace of God that is in you so that you know the kind of sacrifice you need to sharpen that gift. If, for instance, you know, let me round up here, because I would have gone into other place to talk about the sacrifice of prayer and the sacrifice of praise, but maybe some other time. Are you blessed today? If you know, for instance, that you are always plagued by ulcer and you are unable to fast, you can make up for it by praying, learning to pray for hours. Huh? Please, are you with me? There must be something else you can do to fill that gap, apart from fasting, that you will consecrate before God. There are some people, the way their system is, they feel this pepperish pain by 10 a.m. if they've not eaten. Don't say because of that you will not fast. You may decide to consecrate 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. as prayer times. And do it as often as you can. Maybe once a week or maybe twice. When the books are open, what they will look for is, what is the sacrificial element in this person's life? She's always up Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday night. 11 to 1, praying. Okay. What are the contents of her prayer? Well, majorly she praises you, then she always asks that she wants to know you more. Okay. Put the fire here. You cannot pray. You cannot fast. You don't even have authority structures in your life to ginger your spirit. Even church, you come late. Then I say, go and bring her fire. No. Those who come late are even better. Some just come when they feel like. You see, those ones are the worst. All right? But at least, thank God, you still come once in a while. So we encourage you to change. But the problem is that if they now table your matter at the court of heaven, you cannot even get grace out of it. It's only mercy that is left. So you should even be praying that day, the blood of Jesus should be seated in the council. Now, that's a joke, but you should take it seriously. Because if nobody can prove that helping you will benefit the kingdom. Are you with me? That helping you will benefit the kingdom, then we have a problem. Everything God does is finite. There's a reason behind it. God doesn't allocate mercy carelessly. Everything God does, he has something at the back of his mind. And God has met more with people who used him and dumped him. Which is why I no longer have heartbreaks. Because I realize that even God has suffered the way I'm. He has, a lot of people have used him, dumped him. Lucifer did the same thing. There are people that you will only be their friend as long as they are benefiting something from you. So don't take it to heart. It's the way the world is. Demas, when he realized that there's no way on earth that he was going to prosper, he left Paul. So, everything, preaching. I will not marry, I will not have children. The Bible says he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Every time they go for a crusade, you see people come there, they say, oh, I'm Utali Botin now. Oh, you're Utali Botin. Say, wow. I say, what about you? I'm a PwC. So where have you been since you left school, you know? You haven't using speaking with accent. Now you say, we are in Avondale, Arizona. Yeah. Oh, really? Wow, I was in Florida. When was that? Like 1 month. You cannot join the conversation. Or you just came from missionary trip. You cannot. So let me tell you, what you lack in money, make up for it in anointing. There are things that money cannot solve, but power can solve it. And the foundation of power is sacrifice. The Lord will help us. I want you to receive grace tonight to be able to enter into God-inspired sacrificial living and giving. Ask for grace to come into the full reality of the blood of Jesus. The blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. I want you to pray for yourself in 1 minute and receive that grace. Receive that grace. Receive that grace. Receive that grace.